2 Peter 3, 1-14.
In both which I stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance. 7. The heavens and the earth which are now, by the same word, are kept in store, reserved under fire, against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. But, beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to us, but not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat, the earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness, looking for and hasting unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth, wherein dwelleth righteousness. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that you look for such things, be diligent that ye may be found of him in peace, without spot and blameless, and account that the long suffering of our Lord is salvation, even as our beloved brother Paul also, according to the wisdom given unto him, hath written unto you. Amen. It's a tremendous thing, beloved, when you come to think about this, that everything is reserved unto fire. Fire. Everything. Fire. Praise the name of the Lord. How do you feel about that? How do you feel about that? Everything is reserved unto fire. Praise the name of the Lord. I think this is a marvelous thing. And when you come to think of the great statements that are here, that the elements, they're going to be on fire, the earth is going to be burned up, the heavens are going to be burned up, it's all going to be tremendous. And of course, I don't know what you think about this. It's against the day of judgment. It says here in verse 7 that the heavens and the earth, which are now, are reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. Tremendous, isn't it? When the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men comes, beloved, God is reserving unto fire all this universe in which we are living. Now, I don't know what you think about hell. And I suppose really what we think about hell, just what we think about hell, isn't vitally important. I know that this book says that there's going to be a lake of fire. That's what this book says. Mind you, the terribleness about it, as I think about it, is this, that It's very probable. The fire's already here. It's very probable. I look into the heavens and I see a great ball of fire up there. It's the sun. I don't look into the earth, but I know if I could, I know there's a great fire in the middle of the earth. I know it's there. And somehow, beloved, it seems to me that God's already got this great fire. It's all here. And men and women have got ultimately to go to fire. That's what they've got to do. And it's quite simple, because you see, God is a fire. God could only bring himself from himself. You see, he says you can't bring a clean out of an unclean, and I remember the day when he told me you couldn't bring an unclean out of a clean, and that's when I knew that when you got a clean heart, you were born again, and I knew you couldn't be born again till you got one, because he couldn't bring an unclean heart out of himself if he gave you birth. I saw that very clearly. That altered a lot of my doctrine and the fundamentals of my believing. I saw that if he gave me birth from himself, he couldn't beget me with an unclean heart that had to be dealt with about 10 years afterwards. I saw that very clearly. And I began to see where people had all gone astray, and where I had too. But nevertheless, you see, he brought fire forth from himself. And everything is fire, beloved. Everything. And what a wonderful thing it is, beloved, that it's what your heart is really engaged with. You see, if you are of the earth earthy, and of the world worldly, and of the flesh fleshy, and of the devil devilish, you see, if you're of all these things, this is how you will ultimately finish up. You'll finish up in the world worldly, and the earth earthly. It'll all be burning. And God will provide out of the very elements in which men in civilization and in its thin cover, for there's only a thin crust of earth, I believe, over the fire within, that if men will live down on this earth, sensual, or will live perhaps worshipping the sun lying upon its on the beaches of the earth, for instance, and think that you're a sort of a modern sun worshipper. Not that it's wrong to get a little colour on your skin, that's not what I'm saying. That somehow God is going to bring these things from which men get such sensual pleasures, because they turn away from him, the God of the earth, and the God who made the sun, and worship the creation and the creature rather than the creator. It seems to me that they're going to find their hell in it all, as they found their pleasures in it all. I don't know, that's a suggestion to you. You needn't take that as fundamental theological doctrine or anything like that. But this we do know, that God has reserved these things until the day when he's going to plunge the judged into this great lake of fire. Seems to me that it's so right. If you like, it's poetic justice, and I find God very poetic and prophetic. I find that God is everything, and it seems to me that this is in keeping with everything that he does, because you and I have got to know this great fire. We've got to know it. We've got to live in fire, beloved. You and I, we've got to move into this realm of which Jesus was speaking in Luke chapter 12. You may remember the great thought and truth of his heart. Verse 49, I am come to send fire on the earth, And what will I, if it be already kindled? Bless the name of the Lord. The fire was already kindled. What would you do if the fire was kindled? You do what Jesus did. He sent fire on this earth, beloved. It was kindled in his heart, and it was ablaze there, beloved. And it's so wonderful that he just doesn't want to send anything on this earth but fire. You and I have got to deal in this business of fire. That's what we've got to deal with. Are you fire? Well, you are, basically, naturally. There's a process of breaking down and burning up going on in you now, medically. You're a fire. And when that fire goes out, you'll be dead, physically. That's the tremendousness of it. Because we only think of fire as leaping flames. But you know, modern scientists have taught us it's not really. They've taught us that you can have it coming out of a coil that just glows red. They call it electric heat. It isn't a leaping flame anymore, but it's fire, all right. Leaping flames, of course, are just to deal with the primitive and the element, the elemental. But there's a different fire than all this kind of thing, beloved. And God has enshrined this in our very makeup. That when he made us a fire. Blessed be the name of the Lord. What a wonderful thing this is, beloved. That's why your blood is at a certain temperature. At least I hope it is. And if you get a fever, the fire burns so hot that if they soon don't stop it, it'll burn you to death. These are the great things that God wants us to see. I remember that when I lay in the bath this morning, I thought about this, by the way, what you should do when you're bathing. I don't know what you do, but very often this sort of comes to me. I lay in the bath this morning, and I thought, well, what stupid idiots people are, really. Because I tell you my private thoughts. When I'm preaching, I don't say it. Except that I repeat my private thoughts, but publicly I don't say it. Do you know what I mean? I'm at home. This is the great thing for you to understand. I thought, well, what idiots these people are that they call themselves critics. They really expected me. You'll see the link up in a moment. I'm coming the way. I'm a queer chap. I thought, they really expect me, and I was lying down and looking at my toe at the end like that. They really expect me to believe that Moses didn't see a burning bush in the desert. They expect me to believe that. Some cranky chap, honestly. Really. He holds a professor's chair. What, professor of nonsense, that's all he is. It's true. He says, he pontificates in the 20th century and says it wasn't a burning bush that Moses saw. Well, never does he know. You tell me. I hope none of you people have been gullible enough to believe that stuff. How did he know? Well, they say, of course, you see, out there, the sun sort of burns and places get dry and... Well, who said they didn't? That's not what we're talking about. And I lay there and had a good old time thinking about this. I thought, well, Lord, really, these men, they expect you to believe that nonsense. Moses, when God appeared to Moses, beloved, he appeared as fire. But because they don't know God's fire, you see, they concocted some story about, I heard it said once that it was this is a lovely phrase, it's wonderful how phrasey you can get, you know, it sounds so wonderful. A wind bush ablaze with the glory of God. What's a wind bush? Did anybody care? Well, I was expected to know, but that's what Moses saw. Did you know that? Nay, beloved, he didn't. God came down in that fire, in that bush. That was God. Now, though Moses had had much blessing from God, though Moses ultimately had started on the bosom of the water god of the Egyptians on the Nile, God drew him out of the water. Amen. That's why he was called Moses. I drew you out of the water, he said. Now, the world that was overflowed with water. You read this through Peter. You see the consistency of the Bible. Wherever you seek to trace God, it holds 200% true, if that's true, if that's possible. Wherever you see these things, beloved, it's right. And God drew him out of the water. The sort of natural subsistence of the first earth and the first world and everything, all that has to do with the first life, you see. And he blessed him, he did all sorts of things with him, but when he really wanted to appear to Moses and let Moses know who and what he was, he came as fire. Praise the name of the Lord. That's how he came. And he burned there in that bush, and he burned until Moses said, that's what I'm going to find out, what this is all about. Moses wanted to find out what the fire was all about. Amen. That's what he wanted to find out. Amen. He didn't want to know whether he'd been saved by drawing out of the watery being drawn out of the watery baptism, if I may use the allusion. He didn't want to know that. He'd been saved from that. Yeah, that was a wonderful thing. But what he wanted to know, beloved, well, he wanted to know what the fire was all about. Now, blessed be the name of the Lord. I trust there are people here in this room that want to know what the fire's all about. Amen. Ah, if you do, beloved, you'll be a person after God's own heart. You'll want to know what it's all about. The fire. What a glorious thing it was. And he found out, and right the way down through, God started to unfold himself to this man as the God of fire. That when he was going to come down and consume the nation, or later on, he came down, and they had to put themselves by proxy on the altar. That ancient nation, that to put themselves by proxy, an animal had to go on in their stead. He came down and ate them up. He burned them up. That's God. That's what he did. He revealed himself as fire. Praise the name of the Lord. Or, when he wanted to really give these people the law came out of the fire. Moses went up into the mountain, and the mountain was all ablaze with the fire. Sinai was on a smoke. It was being consumed there. And still God didn't burn Sinai up. Praise his wonderful name. There's no crater on Sinai. If the fire had come from earth, men would have discovered a crater there. But the fire came down from heaven, and so no crater was ever revealed, beloved. But out of the fire came righteousness. The great law for daily living came out of the fire, didn't it? That's right. And Moses came down out of the fire. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And you know what that meant to you. He lived up there in the fire. And when he came down, the fire in him had sort of responded under the fire in God. And his very face glowed with the great glory of God.
Praise God. Amen.
Amen. He was a man of fire. As we've already said, God came down and burned them up, and you must always know this, beloved, always know this, that except those ancient Israelites had learned the lesson that in giving these animals they were giving themselves, everything was vain and lost. But they, poor people, they were only adopted. You understand that? They couldn't give themselves unto this fire. Not really. They could only give an animal. You see, it says in Romans, if you remember, that the adoption belonged to Israel. You remember that? The great adoption belonged to Israel. And God, though he called them his sons, he only adopted them. He only ever adopted them. Do you understand that? It started with adoption. He calls Abraham out of Ur of the Chaldees. He tells him that he's going to send him to a certain place, and he's going to do it all, you see. You know, I don't want to weary you, I might be a long time yet preaching to you. So, we won't go into all these details. And he does this tremendous thing, and then he comes one day, and he tells Abraham that he's going to have a son. And he gives a son to Abraham, and then he took on Abraham's son as his own. Isaac was his. He said, you're to take him up on Moriah and you're to offer him to me. But he never was truly God's son. God adopted him and used him as his own. And you know that later through Isaac came Israel. And he called Israel his firstborn. But God had never begotten him. Never. He'd come down through Isaac, through Abraham. But God adopted them. And they were only an adopted race. Hallelujah. And so they were never allowed to put themselves on the altar. Never. They had to put an animal on instead. Do you see that? To them belonged the adoption. That is all. But there came a man on earth, and he was actually God's son. God actually begot him. He was literally God's son. Amen. And he, the fire was in him. Glory. He was fire on this earth. What a tremendous thing it is for us to realize this, beloved. Oh, and the fire burned in this wonderful Jesus. And you will remember that he offered himself without spot to God. Offered himself. And in offering himself, he offered me. In offering himself. Oh, I know that in the sin offering, if you want to follow the law of the offerings and so on, he actually had to offer himself instead of me for sin. That's only about my sin. But when it was really me, he offered himself for me. He offered himself as me. And oh, beloved, what a glorious thing it is for you and I to realize that we're going to have the adoption. We get everything. We have the lot. We are God's special election by grace. We're chosen to have everything. Amen. You think of this. We're chosen to have everything. And, beloved, we are privileged to present our bodies to God. We're not to attempt to present Jesus instead of ourselves. This is one of the great fallacies of evangelical thinking. It's always Christ the substitute. Instead of Christ identified with me. This is the tragedy. We are brought to the place where we see, and must see this, that Jesus Christ died as me, for me. Hallelujah. And this is what Paul says. He said, we all died when he died. We were all offered to God. You see, beloved, we're an altar sacrifice to God. I don't know whether you see this great God of fire. Do you see him? I don't know whether he burns in you. I don't know whether he does. Does he? I don't know whether you see your life one great consumption for God. You see, if you cast your eye back down through the Old Testament story, you will see that this marks out the whole trail of the people of Israel. Ashes, 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 wherever they went. Ashes, 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 ashes. Piles of ashes. Wherever Israel went, piles of them. To show you that God's a God of fire. That God comes down and he consumes his people. Oh, if only by the grace of God tonight we should see this thing. Amen. Men and women, young men and old men, and young women and older women. Dare not say old women. Do you see this? Do you see this? You see, we're so taken up with getting our sins forgiven. Christ the substitute. Bless him. Wonderful. But you know, we could spend all our days and all our hours choosing the hymns and loving the things we love about this substitutionary work of Jesus Christ. And it's so glorious. It's so thrilling, everything. But you know, beloved, you could do this in the natural realm. Really, you could. I could give you a microscope, and I could pluck a wing off a fly if I was cruel enough to do it. I could say, look at that. And when you'd feast your eyes, I could say, but now look at this gorgeous butterfly's wing, and you could feast your eyes on that. And then I could say in the wintertime, look at this snowflake. And you could feast your eye on a snowflake. And I could say, take this crystal of granite and look at that. And you say, it's marvelous, the structure's perfect. And you could go around all these things. And this is what the sidetrack of so many people. They take up biology as their career, and they can talk about that. They talk about oceanography, and it's all so marvelous. They talk about zoology, and it's all so wonderful. And they can, oh, it's marvelous. You could spend your days, you could go to the British Museum, you could go to this museum, you can even go, I don't know what they call this, mummyology, but don't matter. You, out of the past, you can go and see them all, and you can study it all, and it's all so precious, and you can magnify these little things until they're so great. You could write books about them. You could become a professor about it. You could become as idiotic as you like. I'm not being insulting. Comparatively, taken up with niggardly little things. Yeah. You say, isn't it a tremendous thing that Jesus should die in our stead and bear our sin? Yeah. Thank him. Praise him. But oh, beloved, if you see that was only a preliminary. If you could see it was but a preliminary. That you and I should come into the burning consumption of the love that God is. And burn and burn and burn there in the pristine fire of God as it ever was and as it is now and ever shall be. If God could take the littleness of us, if God could move us out of all these other things, if he could, and I believe he can. Amen. I believe that. I don't believe there's anything impossible with God. That's why I love that hymn. When we stand up and say, with God, nothing's impossible. Amen. praise the name of the Lord. Amen. And he can burn us right up, beloved. Burn us right up for God. So that everything's fire in us. Jesus comes and he says, I've come to send fire on the earth. And don't you dare go anywhere unless you're fire. You stop at home. Well, you're not even fit to stop at home. So what you're going to do, I don't know. That's right. You and I, beloved, have got to be fire. Fire. Amen. Oh, glory be to the name of the Lord. That hymn that Edwin Orr wrote, fill me with fire as it were once I burned with shame. He's got his finger on it. That's right. Of course you burn. You've all burned. You've all burned in sin. You've burned in your lust. That's what Paul said. I'd rather you marry than burn. This is the very thing he's talking about. You've all burned. That's right. But it wasn't leaping flame. You see, beloved, don't you see what God's after? Don't you see? So you should burn, burn, burn. Oh, glory to God. When I think of this, we've all burned with passion and shame. We've all burned, let's all confess it. Of course, we wouldn't have been human except that. We would have been less than human. But to know, beloved, and then think of what James says. He says, the tongue is a little member. But behold, how great a matter a little fire kindleth. And the tongue is a fire. The tongue's a fire. Amen. It sets on fire the whole circuit, wheel, system of nature. Praise God. And it's set on fire of hell. Now then, you've got to be set on fire of heaven. You've got to be set on fire of heaven. Praise God. And then start to set the whole wheel of nature on fire. Then start to move in the great system of God. Then start to move as Jesus wants you to move, beloved. Oh, that fire in your tongue? Why, a man of old said, I sat mused till the fire burned. Said, then I went out and I spoke. Glory be to God. Amen. Or a man who in his dreadful, dreadful sorrow said, he said it was fire in his bones. And these, mark you, under a lesser covenant, where they only knew the adoption and that method of sonship. And we who've known what it is to be born forth from that fire. Why, you know, this is what the early salvationists used to talk about. They used to talk about being born in the fire. Praise God. They used to talk about being born in the fire. They weren't respectable, not when they were born of God. Why, in the East End of London, why, poor Mr. Wilson, he only had about 6 eggs thrown at him. They used to get 6 eggs on the night. When they lived there, they were born in the fire. That's why the Salvation Army made its impact. In this world, they were born in the fire. Praise God. And they used to move in this tremendous realm of fire. Everything was alight in them. Everything was burning up in them. They consumed for God. That's all. Why, that old general, he used to preach when he got to be an old man and he could no longer perhaps support himself to make his impassioned appeals in that gruff old voice. I don't know whether you ever heard him. I'm not as old as that. I heard it on a record. I heard him preach a sermon with a cracked old voice sounding like William Branham's, only gruffer, if any of you have heard William Branham. And he preached on rope. Rope. You'd have never heard a sermon like that in all your life. He preached on rope. You see, and it was tremendousness, beloved. And he finished, and he used to have to sit down at the end. I suppose when he was as young as me, he could stand up for an hour or two and preach. But as he got toward the end of his life, Commissioner Lawley used to get up and make the appeal, and the old general used to sit down, having poured out the fire of his bones and in his tongue and in his mind and in the spirit, and he used to say, "Are they coming, Lawley? Are they coming?" He used to say, "Yes, General, they're coming." Amen. Fire. Fire. Praise God. Wonderful fire. Oh, it's got to eat you right up. You've got to dwell with these eternal burnings. Amen. You've got to dwell with them, and you'll either dwell with those eternal burnings or the others, one of the two. You've got to dwell in fire somewhere, somehow. There isn't any middle ground. Not that this Bible of mine talks about. There's no middle ground at all. Glory be to the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you realize that the blood of Jesus Christ only flowed whilst the fire was burning in him? And when that went out, his blood stopped. You realize that? Amen. Do you realize that? You may not have thought of it before, but it's true. That is when the life went out of him. Your life is fire, friend. Oh, hallelujah. God wants us to come here where we're on fire for God. I don't know whether you are. Are you? Do you need me to tell you anything about the day of Pentecost? Do you? And do you need me to tell you anything about that great prophet of water, John Baptist, that answers to Moses? Then he said of the mediator of the new covenant, he said he's going to baptize you with the Holy Ghost and fire. I baptize you with water, he said. But he's going to baptize you with the Holy Ghost and fire. And his plan's in his hand. And he's going to truly purge his floor. There's going to be a great mighty rushing wind. He's going to purge his floor. And he's going to burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire. Oh, bless the name of the Lord. Look at the promise that's held out to you. That all the chaff of you can go. Everything that's chaffing, you that moan about it, you that groan about it, you that notice still some clingings of chaffy humanity and things of this world and the flesh, beloved, they can all go. Amen. All go, glory be to God, and it can all be burned up in the everlasting burnings. Glory be to the name of the Lord. And on that great day of Pentecost, that's just exactly what happened. Hallelujah. The fire came and it sat on each of their heads. And it was wonderful. And God sent fire out on the earth. He sent them on fire for God. God then gave them to see tongues as of fire. Perhaps we'd better put in his exact scriptural expressions. They saw tongues like as of fire. It doesn't matter. This is the thing that conveys itself to the mind as fire. He couldn't show them an electric bar glowing because there weren't any in those days. But the tremendousness of it, beloved, is this. That fire's fire. That God had initiated his great fire program. That's right. God had initiated this sending of fire. Each one of them, beloved, was a burning man. He was on the altar. Each one of them was burning, burning. He was a son. No in lieu of now, no proxy now. He was a son. He went forth a burning man. Bless God. If the baptism in the Spirit hasn't done that for you, I despair of you. It's what it did for me. There have been times when the fire's burned a bit low in me, but praise God, that doesn't last long. Amen. Glory, glory. God's made you of a nature to catch fire. That's right. God's made you of a nature to burn. Friend, you've got to burn. You'll burn in your shame and your lust. You'll burn. There's nothing can stop you. Nothing, nothing. Glory be to God, nothing. Your determination, your prayers, your prayer meetings, nothing. Nothing of these will stop it, beloved. They've got to feed it, or else. This is the tremendousness about it, beloved. To lie and burn and consume before God. Hallelujah. What a wonderful thing this is. Oh, God's called you to this, and everything that's not this, He'll destroy out of your life. Are you willing? Are you willing? He said this, my people shall be willing in the day of my power. That's what he said. That'll tell you whether you belong to him or not. Whether you're willing. Amen. Whether you're willing. And I don't mean a nice sort of recovering from an operation kind of wanting to. I mean a great setting of the being. I don't mean a kind of a nice convalescent getting over it sort of thing. I mean something which is the set of the heart, and God knows this, the determination, I want to say the predetermination of your being, for you didn't do it of yourself. He gave you grace to agree with him and move on this great line. You've been predestined to this, my beloved, that your Jesus and my Jesus came down on this earth, and he was fire. Fire. And oh, how he loved. And oh, how he went. And oh, how he burned through all opposition. How everything. He went in and through it all, beloved. And you've got to be like this. You've got to be like it. It's no good you saying, well, I'm one of these nice sort of comfortable Christians. I believe it all. And that's a lot of rubbish. This isn't the New Testament conception at all. These are only the sort of analysings and subdivisings of humanity in men's minds. It's not the revelation of God. It's not the revelation of God. The revelation of God, my beloved, is that he expects, and thank God he ever thought it about you, that you would ever be this. Thank God for his goodness that he conceived it of us. He thought and expected that you would give yourself to him so totally. That's what he thought. He did. That's what he thought of you. I don't know whether it's better than you deserved. The way you've been acting. Or play acting. He thought it that you'd give yourself to him as those 120 did. That's what he thought. He didn't provide for you to be meandering along here and well, let's get this bit settled first, and I've got to give 10 years of my life to this or something of this nature. He didn't expect that.
He expected you to respond to a young man who died at 33. Before he'd given 33 years of his life to build his little nest. That's what he expected. He expected you and me to burn for God. Till all convention was burned through. Till all bondages disappeared. He intended you and me to burn and burn and burn for him. Ah, that's what he expected. Do you think his expectations have been fulfilled in your life? Do you think so? Well, put it right. Put it right now. He didn't expect you to be a nice sort of theorizing, theologizing, all that sort of a Christian, deciding whether you're an Arminian or a Calvinist. You probably think I'm a Calvinist, the way I've been preaching tonight. After all, I said about the great Arminian. You see, you probably, well, you can think what you like, I won't satisfy you. Well, that's how it is. That's how every man's got to be. That's how the Bible is. People can never make up their mind about it, so that's that. Praise God. You haven't got to be that. God's not a bit interested in those sort of things, not really. Give him one man that'll burn. Give him a man that'll burn. That's all he wants. Praise God. Glory be to the name of the Lord. Are you alive? Praise God. You see, Jesus said, now, I've come to send fire on the earth. And what will I if it be already kindled? But, he said, I have a baptism to be baptized with. And how am I straitened? I can't send this fire out on this earth until this has been accomplished. That's the one baptism of Ephesians 4. His baptism. And until you've been baptized with his baptism, your fire will be artificial. It'll be sparks as on bonfire night. That's right. It'll be as unreal as all the fuss we make about gunpowder plots and Guy Fawkes. Until you've been baptized with the one baptism, and until you know this thing that Jesus Christ knew, he couldn't send it until then, and you can't be sent until then. Fire cometh this way unto the sons of men. Fire burneth in a man. It's that that roots out the old fire. That's right. It's that that roots it out. It's that that takes it out of the tongue and takes it out of the bones and takes it out of the passions, takes it out of the desires. It's this mighty baptism, beloved, this and this alone. There aren't two fires in a man, nor in this great spiritual ethical realm. Amen. And God has called you unto this tremendous thing. Praise his wonderful name. I want to be fire. I want to be fire. I didn't know that God attracted me by fire in the beginning. Fire in a bush, sorry, on a tree. Same thing. There it was. Fire. The fire of him. Hallelujah. The fire of him. The passions of him. The love of him. The burning of him. Glory. Until all sin was dealt with and destroyed. Until this thing was met. Glory be to the name of the Lord. It was fire. Amen. Amen. Have you seen this? That's the sun. That's the elegance and honor of sonship. Amen. To be a man that's
given over to the purposes of God and the needs of men. And the demands of righteousness. A man burning with love. That's right. Oh, we don't want the sparkling fireworks of some sort of poppings off that come in some kinds of experiences. We don't need them. Everybody needs to come to a tremendous emotional release. It's almost certainly that there's someone in this room, one, perhaps 10, perhaps 20, that needs a great emotional release. That's right. That your emotions can be let loose and the fire will be right when they're loose. That's right. That's right. That's why it has to be done. You mustn't withdraw from it. It's got to be done in you. That's right. It's all got to come. You've got to come. Hallelujah. Yes, you mustn't hold back for anything. You've got to be utterly burned through till you have no power of resistance at all. Nothing. You say, well, I'm one of these people that can hold myself in. I pity you. I can't. Hallelujah. Jesus Christ couldn't. Amen. Beloved, glory to be like this. God will move you. It's got to be fire all the time. I testify to you it's fire all the time. Because it's not always the great leaping flame. It wasn't always that in ancient Israel when God taught us about it. There was an altar outside, and the times when the fat was burning on that altar, the flames leaped up and leaped up and leaped up. See? Praise God. Then they threw another 6 or 7 bullocks on, and it all came squelching down. But it burned through again. Glory, glory, glory. It's right, beloved. And then inside there was another fire. This fire was in the lampstand. It burned just steady and clear and bright. Then there was another fire, and it just smouldered away on the altar of incense. It was there. That's the fire that smells nice. That's beautiful. And just beyond the veil was the great fire. God, just beyond the veil. Ooh, that just within this veil of mine, the glory was there. The flesh is only a veil. And sewed onto the veil was the great heavenly creature, the cherubim. That's all. And inside was fire. Glory to God. If I could put my finger through your flesh, what would I touch? Glory to God. And when you die, the veil's rent and the fire's released. Ask John when you see him. I mean Brother John. I know they're all brothers, John. But this is the truth. And you've got to see this, beloved. And if you live for this earth, perhaps you'll find that earth's your hell. I told you not to set too much store by what I said. But this is, I genuinely think this. I genuinely do. I'm not putting out a floating idea. See? And if you live in the flesh, you be careful. Beloved, to live. Say, well, I'm living for the heavenly things. I'm not. I'm living for God. Because there's a burning sun up there. Be careful. It's that which is higher and which is greater and so much more wonderful than anything this earth has to offer. And they put forth pictures and they put forth literature to inflame the fires of fallen humanity. Actors act, actresses act, singers sing. Music is written to inflame the fires within. Poetry is written, yeah, to inflame the fires within. It's written to inflame the fires within. It's written to inflame the fires within. Yeah. A vision glorious. The face of Jesus in my heart. The glory of God on it is to inflame the fires within. The things that the Spirit says, to inflame the fires within. The love of the brethren. The glories of being at one as God is one. Flame and feed the fires within. It's all got to be fire. If I may make a personal... Those of us that were here this morning, you remember that brother asked for a hymn. It was a precious hymn and we sang it. I said, all right, I'll hold what I've got. And by the time we got through that hymn, I was nearly a fire. I could hold it no longer. There was a fire in me. It's all right, does it good to contain the fire. It burns brighter when it's released. That's the control of the Spirit. It's a wonderful fruit. You don't forget it if it's of God. Glory. And God is wanting to move among us, beloved. When did you become fire, sheer fire, as God is fire? When did it happen to you? When did you enjoy the privilege of sonship? Hey? And say, Lord, can I really give myself, yeah, present your body? Present your body. When did you do it? Glory. So the fire burns and burns and burns and burns. And going home is a wonderful thing. Hallelujah. Do you want to give yourself to God? Do you want the fire to fall? I'm not now thinking about mission fields or big appeals. I'm only asking you whether you want to give yourself to God and be fire. And come out of, oh Lord, I'm so grateful that you forgave me. When I mean come out of it, always stop in it, but go on into that which is so much, much more. Come out of looking for feathers and flies' wings and pinheads. Come out of all that and see what God is doing. Burn and burn and burn for God. Come on, beloved. It's time some of you concluded the matter. It's time some of you drew that phase of your life to a finish. I believe what our brother said, the time is very short. I don't know what I mean by that, but that's the sort of thing that keeps on coming on in me. It may be that it's shorter than you think. Shorter than you think. If I may use our brother John, he was looking forward to a day when he would be able to go out and preach this glorious message when he'd finished his commission here that he had from God and so faithfully did. But it never dawned that day. He was expecting it, and so was I. Yeah. And what if he'd waited till then before he became a fire? And what if he'd waited until the moment that never dawned? What if he had? Eh? And are you waiting?
Are you waiting?
Come on, beloved, give yourself to God.
Amen.
I'd say come and kneel here. Give yourself to God. Well, there's a baby asleep on the floor.
Yeah.
And all sorts of things. Let the baby sleep. Let these things happen. But give yourself to God, my man. And give yourself to God, my woman. And get on this altar. And stay there till you feel and know the leaping flames going through everything of you. Pure, 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 pure. And then, when you're pure, you'll be in love. For God's love is pure. Amen. Come on, let's get on the altar. Come on. Ashes, God's going to turn everything to ashes. All my ambitions at my feet in ashes lay. That's an old Salvation Army song. At my feet they lay in ashes. Glory. Come on, beloved. Hallelujah. Glory. The fire will fall. Hallelujah. You better be careful about this. Be very careful. He said when he gets fire, he wants to send it. If you don't want him to send, you don't have any business with this, don't have anything to do with this, nothing at all. But then you must answer to God for that in the end. If you say, Lord, Lord, here am I, send me. May I remind you that in the Old Testament, when a man said that, he had to deal with fire off the altar to touch his lips. But the fire only touched his lips. It's got to consume your body. We're in a new covenant. You're a real son, born of the passions of God. The fire that burned in his bones meant that the seed of fire came that you should be begotten of God. From the very marrow of him, if I may use the term. Now you've got to be there and burn and burn and burn until there's nothing left to burn at all. Nothing. And lift the hip. And he'll send you glory. Are you on the altar? Pay no attention to anything now. No one else. Just God. Fill me with fire where once I burned with shame. Truth in the inward parts.